Blog Talk Radio.
Stop the ass, stop the ass. Jealous friends' opinions last. So many cats, young or old. Try no matter what your tone holds.
Hi, everybody. My name is Russell Foisey. I am your host for Original Lyric Stream Radio. Welcome to listeners every week from around the planet. Thank you so much for tuning in tonight. And you can also listen to replays as well. If you'd like to listen live, forward our link, please log on to blogtalkradio.com/Original Lyric Stream Radio. The chorus you just heard is my own. That's titled Stomp the Ants. What does ANT stand for? Automatic Negative Thought Syndrome. Yes, I wrote a song about negative people. They're always telling you can't do this, you can't do that. As the lyric says, so many can'ts, young or old, trying no matter what you're told. Inspiration for this song, wrote it really quick. Someone once told me I was too old to write lyrics and sing. Shame on them. That is certainly not true. Everyone on this show we know can't is a word we do not recognize. Now, sometimes lyrics can come quick, as Stomp the Ants was for me. But as I start with a blank Word document, I'm just really thinking of ideas, words that I can type that come to mind, really without structure, right? This is my system. Kind of takes the pressure off. I can always save it, go back to it. But I'm really just thinking of ideas. You know, I already have a song title, a melody in my head. You don't need to finish lyrics quickly all the time. Everyone, our stream is also picked up from many of our favorite podcasts, including iHeartRadio. You know, we're very proud to be part of their family for sure. And their replay can be heard the next day on their website and also their app. There are many other radio shows that charge their guest, not here. Our show will always be 100% free to the artist. And this radio show concept and title was based on my first in studio recording, of course, titled Original Lyric Stream. It was my dream come true with my own lyrics and recorded songs. My website, russellfoiseymusic.com. I'm a singer, songwriter, producer, and I have recorded 2 albums. I'll be speaking with guests in the weeks ahead, and we've had just some great, great guests on. I'm going to tell their own story and inspiration behind the lyrics and music. Let me bring in my engineer, Bill Miller. He's on the east coast of Florida, as I am also in the state, same state, on the west coast. Bill does a lot behind the scenes on the Blog Talk Radio website. Bill, how you doing, my friend?
Doing good. How are you this week?
Well, very good, Bill. Here's a band name I'm going to throw at you if you remember this one. I was on Instagram earlier today. What about Blue Oyster Cult?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
They're going back on the road. You know, so many of the legendary bands are going back. ZZ Top, and there's quite a few others. But you remember Blue Oyster Cult in the day? What about that great song they did, Don't Fear the Reaper? That was a great one.
Right, yes, definitely.
I saw Blue Oyster Cult with Heart way back in the day. That was an incredible night. But it's good to see these, you know, any band really, right, coming out and playing, you know, during the pandemic.
It's in the blood. You can't quit.
Yeah, it's, well, you know, it's their main source of revenue, right? I mean, band, and, you know, you think of the band, but there's a lot more of us as a band. You have road crew, you have, you know, stage managers, you have all types of people to support, right?
Right, exactly. Yeah, show must go on.
Well, we have another part two episode tonight. Very excited. You know, here, as I mentioned this before, you know, we love bringing guests back, and there's no limit on the number of times to bring them back. And tonight's no exception. Are you ready, Mr. Miller?
I'm ready. Let's go.
All right. Time for our next guest interview, and you'd be in a slideshow of Sam Argus. Let us play a new release and a great track, and this is titled Won't Be Here Forever.
The shadow of my former self, a model citizen of failing health. I know I won't be here forever. So take a picture and we'll see what shows. A grinning skeleton in formal clothes. I know I won't be here forever. When I go, past and future in my present tense. I know I won't be here forever. Let's make a statement and we'll make it last. We'll dedicate it to my dying past. I know I won't be here forever. When I go, I'll move on. Heaven.
Very nice ending there. Won't be here forever. Our guest tonight was originally on our February 20th, 2020 episode. And let me introduce a great singer, songwriter, musician. And again, a part two episode tonight. Sam Argus, thank you so much for joining me on Original Lyric Stream Radio.
Hey, Russell. Thanks for having me.
How you doing, Sam? How you doing?
I'm doing good. Can you hear me okay?
I sure can. That's a great track, Sam. Tell us more about Won't Be Here Forever.
Well, first of all, thanks. I appreciate that. I'm glad you like it. It was a very personal song for me, as a lot of my songs are. It was actually inspired. It's been in the create process for a few years. It really started a few years back. Unfortunately suffered a few losses in my family. For my wife, it was her grandfather, and for me, I had lost my grandmother. Both occurred in a pretty relatively short period of time, within a couple years of each other, and so that got me kind of, you know, I kind of needed something to process that loss, as people generally do. And so the idea of the song just kind of came to me. It was like, you know, kind of this end of the road, or kind of a approaching the end of the road, or the end of a life, and just kind of pondering or kind of speculating on what's next. Because, you know, I think a question that comes up for probably anybody at some point in their life, whether their own mortality or, you know, when somebody else passes. And so it just kind of got me having to kind of confront that, you know, and deal with that. And, but being very personal, it had that, almost like a healing sense for me to kind of write about it. And at the same time, I didn't want to dwell on it. Like, the idea was not to be dwelling on this moment or dwelling on subject of death or mortality, but rather kind of looking at it like a, you know, it's a life's an adventure, you know, it ends, but there's some sort of adventure after that, I believe. And, you know, this is like a kind of coming from more of a celebratory place, like, you know, this life might be coming to an end, but, you know, let's look back on it and celebrate, you know? So that was the initial inspiration for me. Just in this past year, with everything we've gone through as a country and as a world, the whole pandemic, I think, you know, at least for me and people I know, it was kind of one of those kind of a wake up call, like, you know, we're kind of faced with this situation where we're having to kind of confront our own, you know, mortality or our own fragility as people. And, you know, we're not necessarily indestructible, though we might like to think so. And you kind of got to enjoy the time you have and not take anything for granted, not take this life for granted. So I felt like it was kind of the right time to release the song, because I think the same thing I've been dealing with when I wrote it is kind of the same thing a lot of people are dealing with now. And I always hope to kind of bring some sort of healing, you know, kind of healing element with my music if I can. You know, it comes from a personal place, but I want it to speak to others and resonate with them as well, hopefully help them through, you know, some sort of loss or difficult time, just like it helped me. So that's, in a nutshell, that's the story of that song.
Yeah, and I'm glad you brought up the pandemic, Sam. I hope your family's safe and sound. And again, remind our listeners where you reside, but I understand you're currently now here in Florida.
Yeah, I actually, I guess you could say I have a dual citizenship. I grew up and raised in Kansas City, Missouri. I still very much consider myself a KC boy, but at the same time, I lived out here in Florida. I'm in Clearwater, Florida. I actually lived out here for about 10 years. That's where I met my wife. It's where a lot of our ties currently are. So we're kind of going back and forth. We've got a home base in Kansas City, and we've now got a home base here in Clearwater. So we're kind of getting the best of both worlds.
Yeah, very nice. You're experiencing our 4 o'clock thunderstorms daily.
Oh, yeah, I definitely remember those. There's a certain nostalgia to the sudden rainstorms out of nowhere. Definitely.
Yeah, they're definitely here for sure. So, Sam, you've been a songwriter since age 14. Tell us how you blend your folk rock, roots rock with a 60s era vibe into what your sound is today.
Sure. Well, pretty simply, everybody's got their influences. Everybody's got their, music that they kind of gravitate towards or first kind of cut their teeth on when they, first kind of discover the world of music. At least that's my experience. But for me, that was as a kid, at a very, very young age. I mean, one of my earliest memories is being at, I want to say about 3 years old, and my mom playing an old Beatles record on the record player and me just running around dancing to it. And for me personally growing up, there was a lot of, I was around music a lot of the time. My dad had a classical guitar that always fascinated me. My mom plays piano and violin. We had a piano in the house that she was always playing at, and playing some classics like Simon and Garfunkel and Elton John and things like that. And so it was always just kind of this natural thing for me to just be listening to music, almost every waking hour, and eventually learning music myself. But so they really kind of gave me this really cool, foundation of music that I just built upon, like the Beatles, Bob Dylan, Simon and Garfunkel, CCR. I mean, between my parents and between my mom and my dad's, record collections or musical tastes, I just kind of soaked it all up like a sponge, So I guess you could say that was kind of the most influential era of music, was like the 60s and 70s and really kind of like mid to late 60s, like the Laurel Canyon sound, I guess they call it, or the British Invasion, all of those kind of, that era of music is to me like the most kind of inspirational, or I feel like a lot of like revolutionary sounds are coming out of that particular era. And unfortunately, I feel like that's kind of, a little bit missing, not entirely, but a lot of what's popular these days lacks some of that kind of the element that those styles of music kind of brought to the music community. And so I try to kind of infuse that with my music and kind of keep that sound alive, if you will. I put a modern spin on it, but I try to, kind of let my roots shine through in the music that I write. So
What's your favorite Beatles album, Sam?
I'd say it changes. I think every year it changes to another one, depending on what I've been listening to. But I love Revolver. It's to me a pretty kind of underrated album. I don't know. It might not be as underrated as I think, but most people will name, the White Album or Abbey Road, which I love. I'd say the White Album is right up there. Rubber Soul. There's just so many. In their short run as a band, they put out so much stuff. It never ceases to impress me.
How many tracks?
But I'll
are
say
on
right
the
now,
White
I'll
album,
say Revolver like, and White Album. What's that?
I think there were 33 tracks on the White Album, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh yeah, I mean between the double LP.
Yep.
And all the kind of the little short songs they have in there. But some of just great ones off of that, like Happiness is a Warm Gun is one of my favorites.
Back in the USSR.
Revolution. Back in the USSR.
Yeah.
Great, I think Julia's on that
great,
one.
Great looking back at
Julia's
the
Beatles.
Julia's
a very understated. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Love those guys.
Well, Sam, here's a question I like to ask every week, and we always get different answers. When we talk about the construction of a new song with melody, lyrics, and chords, which do you place in the first position as you're writing, thinking, melodies, what have you, chord composition?
That is a great question. I think that is the question for most songwriters. Honestly, for me, it's a little bit different each time, but I'd say majority of the time, I start with the lyrics or like a lyrical concept. I'm very much a lyrics guy. Like I love when I listen to a song, I love to like really listen into the lyrics and kind of deconstruct them and try and get into the headspace of the writers that are writing it. And, you know, especially poetic lyrics, not necessarily like rhyming lyrics, but just like, you know, lyrics that really like convey a concept that, you know, is just like paints a whole picture in your head, or you almost like have like a whole scene laid out in your head because it's that descriptive. So I tend to start with like an idea of what I want to write about. I'll get some sort of inspiration. Like with Won't Be Here Forever, it was, you know, that concept. And I was like, okay, how can I put this concept into words, and how can I communicate it in such a way that, it becomes kind of a universal message. I don't want to tell a story so exact that it's like only my story and anybody who hears it can tell, well, he's just telling a story that happened to him. I want it to be kind of broadened to where somebody else can hear it and be like, oh yeah, I relate to that too. Like that's my story too, if that makes sense. So I tend mm-hmm. to start with lyrics and come up with an idea. And then I feel like, you know, coming up with melody and chords is kind of a separate process. Sometimes I'll come up with a melody first and I won't have any sort of idea of like a concept or words, but, you know, handy thing about smartphones these days, I just record it into my voice memo recorder and I'm like, okay, well, I like that sound, but I'll have to come back to it when I have some, you know, some sort of concept or words to go with it. But primarily, like I said, I start with some sort of idea, and then I'm just trying to put it into words in a way that, you know, comes across as a song and comes across as like a something relatable and universal.
Yeah, thank goodness for the voice app recorder on our phones.
Oh,
how
man.
Many great ideas would be missed without it?
Oh, yeah. I was listening to an interview with Elvis Costello, and he was talking about, you know, back in the day before that, he would have to, you know, keep repeating it in his head, and he'd have to, like, rush home and write it down. If he even heard, like, another song on the radio, it would get diluted, and he said he's lost so many songs that way. But nowadays, he does the same thing. He just records it right into the phone. It's there. You can start molding it as soon as you have a chance to sit down at a piano or something like that.
Yeah, it's officially in the cloud, right?
That's right.
Well, we're going to play one more.
Songwriter's tool.
Yeah, no, there's no doubt about it. We're going to play one more great track from our guest tonight, Sam Argus, and this is titled So It Goes.
Beyond the trees there is a place. The outline of the buildings can't erase. Where I will go to rest my bones someday. And think of all the things I can't explain. So it goes, so it goes. I read about the Earth's tectonic plates that caused the ground beneath us all to shake. Leaving damage and destruction.
Our guest tonight, Sam Argus, again, very well done. Sam, give me some background on So It Goes.
Sure. Kind of interesting that these were the two songs for tonight. People can probably kind of draw some similarities between this one and Won't Be Here Forever. People are also might be catching on that I tend to write kind of from an introspective or contemplative kind of perspective when I write, but this one was a little similar concept, not quite the same as the last one, but this one more along the line of like kind of looking back, kind of a bittersweet nod to like a maybe a former relationship or, you know, a former love, but kind of I wrote it from kind of the perspective or the viewpoint of somebody, you know, maybe later in life, kind of looking back at maybe a former love, former relationship, and you know, it's gone. It's you know, they're not there anymore, but still looking back and remembering with fondness kind of the times that were had. So, kind of a retrospective kind of, you know, again, not a little, like I said, bittersweet. It's a little bit of a, you know, kind of a regret or longing kind of vibe to it, but at the same time, kind of a, you know, looking back and enjoying the time that was had, that sort of thing.
Sam, is there a favorite live gig you've done in the past you'd like to share with our audience? I know gigs now are few and far between with everything that's going on, but does one stand out to you that you've done?
Yeah, I was going to say, it feels like it's been so long ago. It's been a while, but honestly, I think some of my favorite gigs or shows were kind of more of a intimate setting. Like, you know, I used to play, you know, kind of the bars and coffee house circuit around Kansas City, and there's this really great little spot, Westport Coffee House, and I did a show there one time, very, you know, close quarters, not room for anything more than a small crowd, but a little going a little backstory here. I have this goal with my music. I always want to write something that doesn't sound particularly dated, or, you know, you hear some songs and you're like, oh, that's a that's a total 80s song or 90s song. It's got that kind of still kind of, you know, encapsulated in that era and pretty dated. My music, I always try to write something that's going to, you know, kind of stand the test of time. You know, that's kind of, I suppose, every musician's goal. But like songs like Bob Dylan songs, the Beatles, guys we were talking about, like that music just lasts forever, right? So I always have this goal of like writing a song that is timeless, you know, just someone would consider it timeless, just kind of, you know, transcends, you know, the whole, you know, concept of what's popular now and can just be placed any time in history. And that's just a good song, you know, going to live on forever. And I actually was doing the show and I played one of the songs that we actually played the last time I was on, Where I Have Been. And I remember playing that and just being in the zone where there was just this, almost this hush through the crowd. And I could just tell, like, everybody was just, like, full attention on what I was playing, and just feeling this unspoken feedback from the crowd of just, like, really being into it and just enjoying the song. And then after I finished the set and was kind of going back out into the crowd or off the stage, somebody came up to me and was like, man, that song you played, that song was timeless. And it just was like the best feeling. I just was like, you know, goal set, goal achieved. It was just this good feeling, not even because it was like this validation of my song, but just the fact that it really resonated with him. And I could see that the song just did something for him and, you know, brought him up, you know, he was happier. He was just like digging the music, and that's what it's all about. You know, you want to give your listeners a good time. You want them to connect with your music, not so you can just, you know, brag about how great a song you wrote, but because it connects with that person and, you know, puts them in a higher state. That's about, to me, what it's all about. And so that was probably one of the gigs that stands out the most for me in terms of feeling like I really did something good with that.
No, I would agree with you 100% on the coffee house. I think in some cases your audience is probably, you know, 20 feet in front of you, and the capacity is not that large, and it is a very intimate setting where everyone can really get into what you're playing, what the message is. You're a storyteller. For me, that's a favorite venue of mine. I absolutely love the coffee house.
Yeah, and there's something a little bit more raw about it, like a little bit like more vulnerable, and you're just there, and like you said, they're no more than 20 feet away, and you know, you're looking right in their eyes, and there's no hiding behind like your wall of, you know, amps and stuff like that. You're like, you're just right there, you know.
That's for sure.
No coding it, you know.
Well, Sam, we're getting close to the end of the show. Another question I like to ask, and you know, we always like to pay it forward to the next new artist. If there was somebody beginning in music tomorrow, what advice would you give him or her?
Good question. I would say definitely the world of music now is definitely very much different. Like the world of being a musician is much different than it was even 10, you know, 20 years ago. Definitely get familiar with the industry now. Like if you want to make it big as a musician, you know, it's a whole different world, whole different game with a whole new set of rules. And in a lot of ways, there's a lot more freedoms. You know, anytime you get into something, you want to have as many freedoms as you can. And right now, some of those freedoms are things like Spotify, just how easy, you know, YouTube, the fact that you can just upload your music or a music video from your computer in a matter of minutes is very, very freeing. I mean, depending who you talk to and what perspective you look at it, definitely, you know, it's trickier now that people are not buying albums, and with streaming, you know, people don't have to buy your music to hear it. So there's definitely some drawbacks to that. But for your, you know, your fresh, new, independent or amateur musician, just trying to like find an audience, I would say it's definitely way easier now with the tools that we have, and with, you know, the internet being what it is, streaming being what it is. I have, you know, when I started out as a musician, I was lucky if I could get somebody in another state to hear my music, you know, you, or even another part of the city, you know, you got to go tour, you got to play shows, got to travel to somewhere else just to get in front of people so they hear your music and hopefully buy your music. Or if you could get on the radio, that's, you know, another way of doing it now with Spotify or YouTube. I've got people listening to my music all the way across the world in Australia and Japan, not to mention, you know, all across the country. So definitely look at what your options are now. Don't try to model your career off of, you know, what people used to do, because that's not really the rules of the game now, you know. So just definitely, you know, study up and know what you need to do to get heard, but definitely play to your strengths and your freedoms that you do have now in terms of being able to get yourself out there and get yourself heard. That'd be my advice.
Yeah, you mentioned streaming. This is a known fact, 286 million listeners on Spotify. So songwriters out there, you know, record your music and get it into the streaming platforms. It's great instant exposure, and you'll definitely be heard for sure. So,
oh yeah,
that would be that's my advice. But Sam, tell our listeners where they can find you on social media and also your website.
Sure. Yeah, easiest way is my website, which is samargismusic.com. People can probably see my spelling of my name, but it's kind of unusual. So it's Sam, last name A-R-J-E-S, music.com, all one word. That's got everything, you know, as far as my music, my, you know, bio. You can read about me. You can see my upcoming shows. It's also got links to all my social. But I'm also on Instagram under Sam Argus Music, Facebook under Sam Argus Music. I'm also on Spotify, Apple Music, YouTube, pretty much any streaming service that's out there right now, Amazon Music, Google Play. You can find me, Sam Argus. And hopefully people check it out.
Well, Sam, I have great respect for you as an artist. Always have. You know, I would say you're a real artist, meaning you're a storyteller. And as you mentioned earlier, when you're listening to music, you want to understand the concept, understand the structure, understand the song. And that's what you do, my friend. I want to thank you so much for being on the show again. And we'll definitely have you back on again for sure. And I've really enjoyed this conversation.
Yeah, me too. And I really want to thank you for giving me the opportunity. And back at you, I want to say I really like the song that you played at the beginning of the show that you wrote. I really like the vibes of that one, and I like the message of that one too.
Well, thank you. Yeah, stomp the ants, and there's too many people putting their thumb down telling you you can't do this or that. And, you know, that's not true. So, you know, as you know, songs can come from anywhere. Everybody, make sure you have a voice app on your phone.
Yeah. Don't lose those concepts and ideas you come up with. They can leave your head in a minute, and you want to be able to just capture them.
Exactly. Well, Sam, enjoy your time in beautiful Florida with your family, and thanks again for being on the show again.
I will. Thanks for having me. I'll talk to you later.
Have a good night.
You too. Bye.
Everybody, please Google search and support Sam Argus. As you can hear, great tracks, right? Really working hard to produce music. And please, and this is most important, please purchase his music. He's working hard. If you'd like to be a guest on a future episode, please send me a track of your music to russellfoisey@gmail.com. We accept all music genres. I'd love to hear your sound. Again, my name is Russell Foisey, your host of Original Lyric Stream Radio. Hey, I look forward every episode. I just love doing this show. Thanks again, Bill. And remember, everybody, try no matter what you're told. Good night.
Salty and salty ass. Jealous friends' opinions last.